In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the grace of looking to St. Wenceslaus, this great martyr king. He was a king of Bohemia. His grandmother was a very devout woman by the name of Ludmilla. This is in what I believe is the present Czech Republic. And because of conniving that went on, his father went to an early grave, leaving him in charge. He was raised by his grandmother, Ludmilla, while his little brother, Boleslaw, was raised by his mother more. There was a difficulty between grandmother and his mother. His grandmother was a devout Christian. His mother, a devout and vengeful pagan. And so as time went on, this mother of his became more and more anxious at the way in which he Christianized the kingdom. Where he, having taken Wenceslaus did to the full training and teaching of his own grandmother, sought nothing but to raise up the spirits of all his subjects to God himself, to make sure that they would put away pagan practices, destruction of pagan temples, and the building up of great many churches and the founding of many monasteries, much to the putting aside of all these pagan idols which had gone before. His mother was desirous of the throne for herself, and seeing that her son was opposed to everything that she held to be dear, sought to plot within the shadows. Wenceslaus had a supreme reverence for the poor, supreme reverence for the Mass, supreme reverence for priests. Every time he would see a priest, he would bow before him, though being the king, would kiss his hands. He himself sought to do everything to personally contribute to the taking care of the church. You read upon the annals of his life, he worked and tilled the ground to farm out wheat. Not an easy thing to do in certain areas of the Czech Republic, and to grow particularly tasteful grapes, because he himself wished to crush them that they might be made into hosts for Holy Mass, and wine to become the precious blood of Christ. St. Wenceslaus, because of his great piety, was revered by all of his subjects, but there were those who followed his brother and his murderous plots, so his mother set them up beforehand. It was in fact one day when Wenceslaus went to Mass, where praying there devoutly and hearing early Mass, he knew that laying outside his cell there were those who sought to destroy him, particularly his brother and his henchmen. But realizing that the most important thing that he did was go to Mass and to make no preparation for the body, trusting that God would care for him in every way, knowing that his murderers lay outside the door, did not dare in the least bit to make preservation for his life. And so, braving those who were outside, dared them to strike him by boldly going before them, which they cowardly did. In fact, it is said that even if you go to the outside of that church, you can still see the blood spattered upon the walls. St. Wenceslaus was one who was protected in many and varied ways by the work of the angels. And I'll read from you a little bit of the account from the life of the saint. One particular thing which found to be helpful was, it writes here, angels formed his bodyguard once. To spare the lives of his soldiers, Wenceslaus undertook to fight in single-handed combat a man by the name of Radislaus, the Duke of Gunia. But angels appeared with threatening swords and cried out to his opponent, "Strike not." And so Radislaus, overwhelmed with terror, bowed down in reverence and sought forgiveness from Wenceslaus, who granted it shortly. In fact, on another occasion in Germany, as Wenceslaus approached the emperor, saw two angels adorning him with a golden cross. And so, rising from his throne, the emperor embraced Wenceslaus and decorated him with a royal coat of arms and gave him a gift of a holy relic, that is, the arm of St. Vitus. He was protected by angels in everything it is that he did. And you might ask the question, well, if he was so protected by angels in so many ways, why was it then at this moment that he was slain by Boleslaw, his brother, when even he himself knew that he was laying outside the door? He needed not know by angelic ministrations that there was evil laying about seeking to take his life. Why is it that this occurred? It's for the very reason which we know of all the martyrs. The blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. It was through his piety, which could be crowned in no other way more glorious for the sake of Christ and his cross than by willingly laying himself up before as a lamb, as our Lord did before the slaughterers. He freely gave up his life in trusting that God, who could protect his body, would allow him to be slain in this fashion and so destroy that which is destroy that was evil within the hearts of these men. In fact, if you follow on the lives of the saints, it'll tell you that each of them came to a wicked end that took his life that day. In fact, his own mother, who was plotting against him, was said to be famously swallowed up by the earth itself. So wicked was she. Our Lord calls us to fear only one thing within the gospel, and that is not those who can destroy the body, who could do harm to our flesh, but to fear only the one who can destroy the soul. What does it mean to fear the one who is able to destroy the soul? Does that mean that we, as the scriptures say here, should cower before all evil spirits, fear that they may toss us about and end any hope that we might have for salvation? Certainly not. Certainly not. For as St. Paul says, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. It's an important thing for you and I to take note of, that God has placed his very self inside our souls. And so, if that is the case, what have we to fear of anything which comes from the outside? If God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the divine Trinity, seeks to live within our souls, how could anything really come to harm us? God desires our salvation. And so, as we prepare for this great feast, which we will celebrate upon the morrow, that of St. Michael the Archangel, to realize that there are those who fight on our behalf, who are indeed greater, greater in strength than any of the demons themselves. St. Michael being the captain of the celestial court. And the reason why he is so great, as you will hear Father preach tomorrow, to give you a preview of his own sermon, he will tell you that Michael, being the one who is the greatest in humility, is because of this, that he is the most powerful of all and able to destroy the proud spirit that is the devil. For all he says is, who is like God? Who is like God? Who is like God? None is like God. And so because of that great power of humility, he is able to subjugate he who is the proud spirit. And so when you and I feel afflicted by every proud spirit that seeks to wage its war against your soul and mine and to send us asunder headlong into the hell which is made only for them, we can cry out and have greater strength than all of them by replying just as Michael replies. Who is like God? Who is like God? There is none like God. And let the angels do the fighting on our behalf. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.